Hello, and welcome to our podcast. Eagles Nest Worship Center in Omaha, Nebraska is an innovative church restoring life, hope, and destiny to our contemporary culture through relevant Christ-centered ministry in the spirit of excellence. Join us each week for dynamic teaching that will challenge you to grow and develop into who God has called you to be.
Find this in a Hallmark card? Get ready for trouble. Congratulations on your marriage. You're not going to find on a wedding cake, this is so awesome, but you really shouldn't have married. Whoop, it's too late for you. You're not going to find any of that anywhere. But, you know, people come to Pastor and I all the time and they're saying, you know, we really need some help. We're having so much trouble in our marriage. There's just trouble in our marriage, or I'm having trouble with a friend. I'm just having trouble. And we say, oh, yep, that's about right. That's about right. The scriptures even tell us you will have trouble in this life. Is this news to somebody? I mean, that the Bible says it? It is better for a man not to marry. If you do marry, you are going to have trouble. So tell your neighbor.
Yeah.
You're going to have trouble. Even God tells us you're going to have trouble. So if you're having trouble, you're right where you should be. You don't want to have too much of it, and there's seasons for it. But don't worry, fear not. The word even says you're going to have trouble.
Yeah, so Brad and Ruth, don't get upset. Amen.
This is not a message specifically for you.
So the question is, why get married then?
Yeah.
Why get married? Because marriage is awesome. It's a good place for a shout of amen, men. Amen. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is wonderful. Why do you say that? Because God created it. God created it. And the word of God says that when God created something, it is good. Look at the one next to say, it is good.
It is good.
Now, but you have to understand, women are very complex individuals.
Can I get an amen, ladies?
Very, very complex.
You didn't have to say very, very. Oh, you could have just left it at, we're complex.
I'm just trying to be scriptural. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Women are very complex individuals, and men are very simple, S-E-X, individuals.
Ladies, can we get another amen?
I think y'all missed that one there.
Uh-huh.
Men are very simply made. God complexly and intricately created women. And so, why get married? Because it is awesome. It's great. Along with all this stuff that comes along, it's still good because God said it is good. So let me give you another scripture of why it can be good. And the word of the Lord says in Proverbs 14, verse 4, the first part of the scripture says this: where no oxen are, the manger is clean. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. Other translations say, where there's no ox, there the stall is clean. It's not messy. Where there's no ox, the stall is not messy. The point of that is, if you want a non-messy life, if you want a non-messy marriage, if you want a non-messy relationship.
Or poo-free.
Or a poo-free. A poo-free. Because how many know if you get oxen, you get
poo.
Poo. Look at the one next to say poo. Okay. Not Winnie. Poo. Poo. Yeah. So, understand. So if you don't want poo, you don't get an ox. But once you get an ox, now it doesn't tell us which one is the ox. Or maybe both. Amen. If you don't want poo, you don't want an ox. But if you get an ox, you get some poo. Amen. Ladies, how many found out you got some poo when you got that ox?
That's right.
I got one amen.
There was a lot. He was like, really?
So the issue is finding the proper ratio between oxen and poo. You just don't want too much poo in the relationship, okay? And so under that. But the good thing about that is the latter part of that scripture says this about the oxen and the poo, because they come jointly together. No ox, no poo, but get an ox, you get poo. And so the last portion of that scripture says this, that when you get that, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Proverbs also says that two are better than what?
One.
Why? Because if one falls, there's another one to pick them back up. So the benefit of the marriage is that we don't actually complete one another, but we complement one another. Because we're already complete in Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for an individual to complete you, you'll always find them lacking. You always find them not sufficing or satisfying enough. So your completeness comes through Jesus Christ. But you and I have to understand that we're like two sides of the coin. We are two sides, but we make one coin. We're stronger together than we are separate from one another. So guess what? If you get the oxen, you're going to get some poo. But if you find the right ratio, you'll find the increase and the strength that comes. My wife gives me strength and increase. My husband gives me strength and increase. We complement one another and we strengthen one another.
Yes. Yeah, so how do you stay married and not kill your spouse? Somebody said, I am preaching in here. How do you stay married? Because here's the thing. It's our differences that really attract one another. Aren't they? It's those things that are so different about that person that you really like. You know, remember when you first met them and you were like, oh man, she just does this right and he just does this right and I love the way he does this and I love the way he does that. Remember that? Right? Because here's the thing. We often forget those things. And we forget that it was the differences that were so attractive to us in the very first place, right? Because the one portion and the one part of who she is and the one portion, the one part of who he is make up one good person. Make up one good person. Come on, I don't think y'all heard me. She and the way she is and he the way he is make up one complete and good person. And so we very often forget it was those very different things that were different about that person that we loved initially. And pretty soon it's those things that now drive us crazy. Right? I used to love the way that he did that. And now when he does that, it gets on your ever-living, everlasting nerves. Come on. Those things that, he's so cute when he does that. Back then. And now, when she does those things, you're like, can I get a witness? Because they were really cute at first. And you loved when they did them, right? It didn't bother you. In fact, you were like, woo, yes, there's that thing. Come on. And then time has passed. And those very things that attracted you to that person, those very things that you loved about that person are the very things that bug the fire out of you. With respect to that person. Come on. Even in friendships, your friendship goes south. And your person is, your former friend was so bubbly. When you met them, when you met her, you loved that about her. She's always bubbly and she always had a great attitude. She was always just so positive and da 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 da. And then you've had a fight or you're no longer quote unquote friends and she walks in the room and she's so bubbly. You're like, she gets on my nerves, all that bubble, all happy. Isn't that the truth? And the one thing that you loved about that person, be it your spouse or be it a friend or be it a colleague, be it your boss, come on, it's the thing that you dislike most when trouble happens. Come on, or when time passes. It's not cute anymore. I don't like him or her anymore, so now that irritates me.
Oh, I never felt that way about you, hon. Never.
I'm preaching right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do not interrupt me. I'm kidding, babe, because I probably will interrupt you, too. Did you move this stuff?
Oh, no. These are mine.
Oh, okay.
Those are yours.
Okay.
Do not mess with mine. Okay.
Okay. He's very perfect. Uh-huh. You'll know more about that in just a minute. And so here you are, and the thing about it is your struggles become fundamental. And you are fundamentally struggling over situations and issues in your relationships with your friends and in your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your husband or wife. Why? Because you're trying and wish that they would just act like you. Man, if he would just do it like I do it. Can I get a witness? Man, if she would just do it the way that I do it. How many times have I showed them how I want them to do it? Have we said that? How many times? Because, of course, the way we do it is what? The right way.
Right way. Sure.
Woo! Problem is, if there's two of you, two wrongs don't make a... That was good, Holy Ghost.
But men are right because God made us first.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so, but we'll let you keep believing that because we love you. And so we're always saying, why can't you do it like me? Or why can't you do it like this? Why can't you do it the way I do it? Why don't you think like me? Why don't you respond like me? And that's what we're saying, you know, when we're fussing and we're fighting and the things that they used to do that didn't get on our nerves now get on our nerves and they're not doing it the way that we think they should do it. And what we're really saying is, why don't you do it like me? And the reason is because they're not you. They are not you. And that's why they don't do it like you do it.
Thank you. I tried to tell you how to do this before we started, but anyhow, amen.
Oh, you need to tell the truth. Woo! Get the oil. Get the oil.
So what we're trying to do in any of us is the key to helping people succeed is showing them what's right about them, not what's right about you. What's right about them and not what's wrong with them. Most of the time we're trying to tell them what's wrong with them instead of focusing in on what is right about them and celebrating the differences and celebrating the God-given personality that God's put into every one of us. So we fight that. We're each side of the coin, but it's still one coin. And then we find not our completeness, but that sense of the plan that God has for our lives because he has connected us. And though we focused in on those things that we thought drew us together now are driving us nuts, but again, that's what made them who they are, and that's their personality, and that's their gifting that God put in them. So we have to come to the point that we have to understand that this is how one psychologist and one teacher put it together, that we all speak the same language, seemingly. But even though we all speak, like if you go to South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and Britain and the U.S., we all speak English, but there are certain words that means one thing there, but don't mean them here. So when we come in together and we begin to talk a language, what I'm trying to say means something totally different to her. And what she's trying to say to me after 10 years, I still haven't figured out.
It's going to be a long message.
Because men are very simple, S-E-X, very direct, and get it taken. Anyway.
We need you to focus on this message, amen. Mr. S-E-X.
So let's show you some illustrations here of what things mean one place. Though it's the same language, English, but it means something different.
So we can go, there's places, like, you know, you can be in South Africa, or you can be in New Zealand or Australia or Britain, and you can use one word, but this just shows, like, this is in Britain or England, that it means two totally different things.
Jumper. In Britain means a sweater. In the U.S., it means somebody jumping off the edge of a building.
The second one, it's a trainer. We think of a trainer, somebody that helps us lift weights or get in shape, that sort of thing. It's a tennis shoe in Britain.
In the U.S., pants, we think of jeans, long things. In Britain, it's panties. So men, ladies, don't go up to your man and say, wear some pants. In Britain.
Yes, anyway, please don't. And then in the U.S., a bird is a bird. I don't even need to tell. It's a bird. But somehow in Britain, it's a woman. Or maybe they mean a chick or something. I don't know.
It means
it's a hurr. I'm real confused about that. When we get there this summer, let's ask them.
Okay. And then in bog, in the U.S., it's a swampy area and things like that. In Britain, it's a bathroom, so a toilet. So I have to use the bog. I guess it came, I'm bogged down. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, yikes. Ahead. Okay. Or how about braces? Self-explanatory. In Britain, it's like suspenders. And so, you know, if somebody said, can I borrow your braces? I'd be like, that's a little disconcerting.
In Britain, a trolley is a cart at the grocery store. And in the U.S., obviously, it's the trolley in San Francisco.
Yeah. Chips. We know what chips are. Doritos, barbecue, whatever. Over there, they're French fries.
Yeah. They have fish and chips.
Yeah. Fish and chips. Or if you're from Seattle, that would be fish and chips.
A coach is a person that leads a team, coaches a team. But in Britain, it's a bus.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I guess they biscuit. Took that other one out. Biscuit. Biscuit is just that. We know what that is. And then it's a cookie. Yeah. Over there. Yeah.
Shag.
I love shag. Okay. Or we don't.
But
yeah.
Different ones.
Yeah. Anyway, so they just keep going.
Dummy.
Yeah, dummy.
Britain, a dummy is a pacifier. In the U.S., it's your husband. I don't know.
Woo! Greg, we need you on the drums for that. The voice of the Lord.
But let me get, not trying to be crude here, but when I was in Ireland, I was traveling with a music group there, and we were talking to the individual that was hosting us, and I said to him, I said, where's your daughter at? And this is actually what he said. He said, well, she's in the back room knocked up. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Amen. And so as an American, when he said knocked up and daughter, I go, I think we've lost something in the translation here. And I said, can you explain that to me? And he said, oh, she's back taking a nap. And I said, oh, that's not what it means in America. So please don't go to America and say, is your daughter knocked up? I mean, it won't go over real well.
Yeah. And the thing is,
so let's carry on.
Because we don't understand, those are all very good examples. In the same way, we have words and verbiage within our personalities and that make us tick in the way that we talk and the way that we think. Those things allow us to express certain things, but they can mean one thing to us and mean something totally different to our spouse or to our friends. And then we begin to fight against the very thing that God created in us. The very thing that he created us that is the sweetest to us and the thing that makes us the happiest and the thing, because we are created to be and act certain ways according to our personalities. When people begin to fight those things and they become contrary to us in nature, that's when problems occur, because the real thing is they just don't understand you. Or their personality is so contrary or so different from yours. And because you don't have an understanding of them and they don't have an understanding of you, you repel instead of understanding who one another is and gel.
Yeah.
Amen? And so the thing that we want you to see, we're going to take you to four different countries this morning, okay? These four countries are motivated by different cultures. They're motivated by different words. They're motivated by different things. And the interesting thing is inevitably people tend to marry people from other countries. And that's very interesting because, again, they're motivated by different things. Different things make them tick. Different things make them happy. Different words mean different things to them. But yet, we habitate and cohabitate as husband and wife together and make it work.
Right. So we use the word term countries here. We're really talking about personalities.
Right.
So look at the one they can say, what country are you from? What country are you? Look at them again and say, really, what country are you from? What kind? So the first country that I want to deal with today, we're going to switch back and forth, is this country called the country of control. The country of control. It's a very black and white country, a country of control. Biblical characters that you could find that had these personality traits would be a King Solomon, the Apostle Paul, Joshua, and these all lived in that country. Look at the one next to say, the country of control.
The country of control.
Now, the issue with that, the country control, is most of the times it gets a bad rap. Because we look at the term control as controlling. And so we look at the negative because society has taught us always to look for the negative before we look for the positive. And so when we find somebody that is from the country of control, they get a bad rap because we tend to think that they're controlling, they're manipulating. They want to have control over everything. But another way that we can express that is passion or focus. Passion or focus. People that are from the country of control are very passionate people, and they're very focused people. Their thought process is an end result. Get the job done. Look at the one that said, get her done. Get her done. Yeah, it's about getting the job done and going with that. They are passionate. They are focused in what they're doing. And the problem with that is not the problem again, is this, that this country only consists of 3% of the population. It's very limited. Why? Because these are the go-getters. These are the ones that lead. These are the ones that focus in and are passionate about that. And they're what we would call chiefs. The whole world could not be from the country of control or nothing would ever get done. Their issue is not how to get it done. Their issue is, let's get it done. Let somebody else figure out the how, because I'm passionate about the vision. They're visionaries. They see something and they say, let's go after it. The how, we'll let somebody else figure that out, but let's go after it. And that tends to make them feel like they're pushing, they're prodding too much, they're overbearing at times and things like that. And so we have to understand, but since they're the get or done people, we have to understand that if we did not have these chiefs, nothing would ever get accomplished. And so we have to look at them not as something that's simply controlling, but somebody that's passionate. Look at the one next to you and say, are you passionate? Are you focused? Listen, and here's the issue about those that are from the country control. Their desire is not to be controlling or be in control. Their desire is to be appreciated. Appreciated for their focus. Appreciated for their passion on getting the job done. Though it can seem overbearing at times. To a husband, it can seem nagging at times. I got one right, no amens. Because a man goes, I got to go home. I'm keeping my mouth closed. Right? But their issue is about they want to be appreciated. And when they're not feeling appreciated, they shut down. They feel like they're being taken advantage of. Not that they're not just being appreciated. They feel like someone's trying to circumvent them, go over them, go underneath them. And we have to learn the verbiage to talk with them and understand. A vehicle that would describe a person from the country control is a Mack truck. It's a big 18-wheeler. Get out of my way or I'm going to run you over. And if you stay in my way, I will run you over. Because I'm focused. I'm passionate. If you get in my way, I'm going to have to drive right through you. And it's not because that's a negative, but that's the personality that God created them with, because there's someone that has the vision. There's someone that has the driving force. They're that go-getter. They're the one that goes after them. And so when you talk to them and you say, I appreciate you, what you're saying to them is, I love you. Instead of offending them because you're so controlling, because I'm not understanding it, and I say, I appreciate that you've got focus. I appreciate you that you've got desire. I appreciate you that you've got some passion to go after this. And when you say that to them, you're saying, I love you. So remember this. People from control country may seem odd to us, but remember this. Everybody from every country is weird. Look at the one next to you and say, you're just weird. You're just weird. That's right. Some of y'all afraid to say it. Because we're from a different country. Now, when we talk about these four countries, remember this. There's probably a dominant part of that country, and there's a passive side. But all of us probably have all four of these countries at some element in all of our lives. Look at the one that can say, you got it all, baby. You got it all. You got it all. You got it all. So you have to know how to talk to them. So when you talk to them, they can be very strong in nature. But remember, that's because God made them that way. So when you talk to them, you have to talk to them with words like achieving, goals, focus, better, get it done, better done, things like that. When you talk about going somewhere, hey, there's some things going to happen tonight. We're going to find some things. We're going to achieve some things. There's some goals that are going to be accomplished tonight. And then that trips their trigger. That just meant, okay, let's go, let's go, let's go. But then you run into this next country.
Yes. And I will say this, Pastor has a very small amount of control and just helping you to relate to him. I have a very large amount. You guys didn't know that, did you? of control. And as Pastor said, it's because we were wired that. We didn't say, whoo, please make me all this. Please make me this way. That's what God said when he created me, or when he created you. He said, I'm going to give them a lot of this for the things that I need them to accomplish. And that's where we get all, you know, out of whack, because we look at them for who they are in the natural and in the flesh, and we get bothered by those things. And God's like, you know, I didn't ask you that. I made them the way that I made them because there's something that I need them to do. I need Paul to do, to lead people to me. And so because of that, I created him to be a Mack truck, and he's going to get the job done. And he's going to see the end from the beginning, and he's going to not allow things to get in his way. And so it's not a bad thing, as Pastor said. It is who we are. We didn't choose it. And a lot of times if we sit back and think about it, it helps us to relate to the people that are that way. They didn't ask to be that way. God created them to be that way for his purpose. Amen? And so the one thing that pastor does have more of is fun. And there are people from the country of fun.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. These would be your Aarons or your King Sauls or your Peters. They are from the country of fun because everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything's fun. Everything's cool. We know those people. It doesn't matter what is going on. It's fun.
Yes, it has to be fun.
It has to be fun. We want to make sure that with everything going on, there's an element of fun to it. These are expressive people. I am primarily control, but I have a lot of fun. These are the expressive people. These are the people that are demonstrative. These are the people that are good communicators. Come on. These are the people that are storytellers that will engage you, that will bring you along, that are able to get the team together. I need everybody to get on board. This is fun, isn't it? Right? And these are the people that have enthusiasm, right? These are the people, let's see, what else? The one thing about them is they want to be noticed. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at me, see, I'm here, I'm having fun. And they want to be noticed. God created them to have fun. They have a desire to be noticed by people. Come on. You've all seen them. Uh-huh. All the stuff he's doing back here right now, it's because he wants to be noticed.
I'm just having fun.
Yeah. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Yes, they're confident and optimistic. He's always optimistic. Oh, but the sun will shine later. It may be raining now. It's fun. Come on, yeah. Yeah, this is great. And they have an impeccable way of communicating. They're clear and they're concise. You may have been confused prior to talking to them, but they will make it very clear, and that you will have fun understanding. They're your favorite teachers. Come on, right? We all remember our fun teachers. They're from the country of fun because they communicated well with us, right? We understood they were concise, but yet they made it fun. And all the while they were like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I want the attention. If a person from fun country walked in this room right now, pretty soon we would all be listening to them. Why? Because they have a way of captivating. They have a way of getting everybody's attention, and pretty soon other people will stop talking because they want to hear what the person from fun country has to say. And they are gifted that way. Right? They're persuasive and impulsive. And all of these things are their version of love. I love you. And so therefore, let's get excited and have fun together.
Yes.
Yes.
S-E-X. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Nikia, can you escort him out? No, I mean, I got this. Just naughty. Men, bring it back. Bring it back. They have a great way of communicating. And so that's why pastor is able to preach week in and week out and be effective, because he's fun and he's a great communicator and he's concise. And so we learn, right? And we're captivated by the things that he says. So he has a lot of fun in his personality. I have a lot of control, and then I have a lot of fun too.
When you're See, this is what drew us together, but this is what drives her crazy.
This is the very thing that I don't think is cute anymore. And he thinks he's funny. And the control person in me going, this is not funny. This is business here. We're trying to get to a vision. We have a vision. That's the end. Does this help? I'm trying to get over here where the end is the focus, the goal, what I'm trying to do. And he's like, everything is awesome. And then he thinks it's funny.
It is. It is funny.
But it's not funny. And even as much fun as I have in my personality, I still don't reach the level of fun that he would like me to. Come on. They're excellent communicators. And the people from fun country desire to be accepted. That's what they want. They want people to accept them. The people from fun country are your class clowns. I was my class clown. That was so fun.
That was awesome. Everything is awesome. It's cool.
And they shut down. Reel it in. We got a goal. And they shut down when they feel like they are being rejected. They want to be accepted. So if they walked in here and everybody in here got up and turned around, they would feel rejected. Because their language of love, if you will, is interaction. And having fun with you. And interacting with you and telling you things. And you engaging and you listening. And you becoming passionate about the things that they're passionate about. Does that make sense? And these are people from fun country. So instead of being offended by their high energy, because again, what was once cute, after a period of time, it's not cute anymore. It's not funny anymore. In fact, it irritates you.
That's what makes it fun. I don't know what's it like.
Jim Hart.
Oh, I'm sorry.
James Keith Hart.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now.
That is your final warning. And then you will have time out with a woman whooping because I'm half black. The timeout's for my white mama, and the whooping's for my black daddy.
Can we have fun?
So, and yes, we will call that fun. Oh, yeah. Everything is awesome. Woo, is this fun? So instead of being offended by their high energy, right? Because, again, when they're your friend, you love it. You always want them to come with you. They're the life of the party. You want to be around them, right? And then when you're offended by them, or you've been married to them long enough, it's no longer funny. And they walk in the room and you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to start talking. They're going to just be talking. Then they're going to be happy. And isn't that the truth? And they get under your skin when before it was the very thing you loved about them. Make sure, are you coming tonight? And then you're no longer friends. You're like, if they are there, I am not coming. Right? And once the thing that you once loved, you're no longer in love with those things, or you're no longer humored by those things because you've been bugged by them in some way, and now those things bother the fire out of you, right? And so to understand them more will help you maybe rekindle the thing that you once upon a time really enjoyed about them. And to understand their ways and to understand why they're always happy. Why? We don't have to be happy all the time. Why? I mean, we can sit down and be quiet some of the time. Everything is not always awesome. Right? And it helps you to understand them so then you can be a better friend to them. Because here's the thing. The laughter and joy and passion and talking and lots of talking are the very thing that bring them joy. That's the very thing that lights their world. That's the very thing that causes them to go, "It was a great day!" Because that's who they are. Does that make sense? Words that people from Fun Country respond very well to is passionate, humor, fun-loving, good time. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a great time. You want to come. It's great. It's all good. All right? All right. Okay, speak.
What was my vehicle, though?
Your vehicle. Oh, yes. Your vehicle is a jet because you're always buzzing all around. Gotta get there. Hi, happy here. So you're always cruising and you're always going. You're happy. Getting things done. Hi, is there people there? And you are a people person. You know no strangers. That is a person from Fun Country.
Oh, amen. But on the flip side, if everybody's just Fun Country, nothing gets done. So
right.
But we have fun anyhow. Amen.
Oh, you know what? Let me say this too. The people from Fun Country, everybody, do you know Pastor Kristen? Pastor Kristen would be a great example of Fun Country. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Yes. She is Fun Country. The thing about Fun Country is you won't get much done because they're too busy having
fun.
They are not good at details. They are scatterbrained. They are not organizationally sound, right? They're not good at doing all the little things and making sure I's are dotted and T's are crossed. No, because they just want to make sure everybody's coming. And if everybody comes, surely I can make somebody do the details.
Yeah, that's the control country.
Right.
Give it to them.
No, that's the perfect person.
Which is the third country.
Right.
It's called the country of perfect. Anybody know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody look at the one next and say, "Are you from the country of perfect?" Because I am. Okay. Listen, some illustrators would be Luke. He's a doctor. Esther, the queen. Moses. We know about Moses. Got to be everything perfect. Nothing's perfect. He gets out of it. He throws the tablets down. They all bust. Things like that. It's just a country of perfect. Their vehicle would be a train. The train, because it has an A and a B. A point, a beginning, a point of ending, and it has two rails. You never get off the rails. Everything's in place all the way there. Nothing out of place. We want it perfect. We want it perfect. Now, the issue with that is that these people always, it's not about getting it perfect, it's about getting it right. We want to get the job done right. It's about details. It's the world under a magnifying glass that we want to make sure everything's right in place. Everything. It would be like if the Titanic is sinking, they wouldn't care that the ship was sinking. They would care, is the silverware in the right place? Are the napkins on the right side of the table? Is the fork in the right place? Are the beds made? We don't care if the ship, but if it goes down, it has to go down in the policy. It's about policies. It's about the manual. Did we do it the way the manual said it?
Yes.
Did we do it the way the policy is? We want everything perfect in the sense. We want it right. We don't care if the house is on fire. We want to know how it got on fire. So we can solve this. And perfect people, what the issue with them sometimes is they're always picking out the flaws of everybody else. And it's not so much that they're trying to be negative, it's that they're trying to show you how to correct it. Because perfect people want to correct everything. Why do you do that way? That's not the right way. Why do women squeeze the toothpaste tube at the top? And men squeeze it out the bottom.
See, here's the thing. It is not a male-female. It is not a male-female thing. It's a personality thing. Because a perfect person needs to squeeze it from the bottom so that every inch can be exactly precise all the way up to the top. Anybody else is just like toothpaste. It's not personality-driven, not female-male gender-driven. Can I get a witness? You need to move on to a new point. That wasn't good.
This is the controlling part that drives me nuts.
But let's have fun. It's so fun to correct you. It's fun.
Hallelujah.
Everything is so awesome.
It's squeezed at the bottom. It's always at the top. But you squeeze it at the top, it pushes it back to the bottom. And now you have to squeeze it at the bottom again to get it back to the top. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to show you the right way. So I can have fun.
Lord, please deliver him from toothpaste issues.
So when they try to, what they're really, in their mind, when they say, well, this is what's wrong, or they've picked out a flaw, is what they're trying, in their mind, they're saying, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I want you to be better.
I care.
I care about you. And if you were perfect like me, you would totally understand this part of the process like that. And so you have to understand, they don't, it's not that they want to be in control. They just want to get it right. And there's some of the most creative people. Perfect people are in their mind, that country. They're some of the most creative people. They take details, and they make the details come alive with creative genius. Musicians are great examples of that. It's just perfect. Like in my part of the closet, my part of the closet. This is Pastor Alicia's part of the closet, and this is my part of the closet right here. And you could have just said my part of the closet.
My part of the closet.
My part of the closet is my suits, my black suit, my gray suit, my brown suit, my blue suit, and all my shirts of certain colors are this way, like that, and everything's in there. It's very easy for me to go in and just get, I know where it's at. If somebody has to go get something for me, I know right where to tell them. Go right there, and that's where it's going to be. My shirt this color, my tie this color, my suit this color. It's very easy for me because that's the perfect way, and that's
yes,
the way
but
that's
when it becomes,
that's the right way.
When it becomes irritating is when you're doing that in the refrigerator.
Well, I don't understand. Why do you want a messed up refrigerator? I mean, here, the milk is here. The juice is here. The eggs are here.
Woo!
The cheese is here. Like that. That way. It's easy. I go in. I can close my eyes and get it. It's perfect. And I have fun. I just get it like that.
But like he could say if you go three shelves down to the left, 2 inches from the side, there'll be an orange.
It's fun.
Who does that?
It's fun.
And why? Why? It's okay to have to look for an orange. I'm just saying.
But not 20 minutes to look
for an orange. 20 minutes, you go in the fruit section.
Yeah, but
they don't have to be lined up.
You got vegetables in the fruit section.
Fruits. In life, there will be trouble when you are married.
No, but they're incredible. They're geniuses. They're creative genius. Some of the most creative people in the world are those perfect people. But on the flip side of that is, people from perfect country are by nature some of the world's most sensitive people.
Bam.
I am not. I'm not sensitive.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she just pointed at me. Anyhow, and so. So the thing about the people from the perfect country is it's really not about perfection. It's about they want you to be sensitive to their feelings, that you show you care about them. The words that you use to talk to a perfect person is it's the right thing. That's a good detail about that. There's no fun in it, but that's a good detail. You don't leave the fun part out. Amen. And you say, oh, that's the ideal way of doing it. Oh, that's the right way of doing it. That speaks to their lane, because all they really want to know is not that they're perfect or they're right. It simply is that you're sensitive to their feelings and that you care about them. because they can be easily offended. See, because the thing about being offended is if you offend a control child, they'll push past it. If you offend a fun child, they'll laugh it off. If you offend a peace child, they'll make peace with it. But if you offend a perfect person from the perfect country, they will carry it well into their adult life. You run into them 20 years later and they look at you. I remember what you did. You squeezed from the top. But again, that's qualities and personality that God built in them because God is a God of right. God is a God of order, and he wants it done to the best of our ability. But again, none of us are perfect.
The final country is the country of peace. Isaac, Nehemiah, Martha, and Abraham all come from the country of peace. And these are the people that if we were looking for a vehicle, they'd be in a gondola. On smooth water, because everything is peaceful for them. They just want peace. They are non-confrontational people. They are people where everything they in their life, they want smooth sailing, right? And inevitably, these people marry people who want to do belly flops in the water. And they're like, what? Because they don't want waves. They don't like emotional waves. Somebody's like raising their hand back there. Me. They're great listeners. They're great team players. They're very easily captivated and get on board with whatever the status quo is, right? They don't have a problem. They're steady and they're predictable. You know what to expect from a peaceful person. You know that they're always going to be all is well. It's all good in the hood or wherever you live. They're understanding and they're friendly, right? We all know, you know somebody that's from the country of peace, right? They're the people that are like, no worries, mon. No worries. It's all good. Yeah, mon. It's easy here. It's easy. No problemo. Yes. And the problem with these people is because they're so laid back, sometimes it's hard to get them going. They're so like, well, it's all good. And you're like, get up for something. Move a little something because they're so laid back. It's hard to get them fired up. You get a new car and the control person's like, yes, we worked very hard. And the end of that was this car that was sitting in the, you know, blah, blah, blah. The fun person, we got a new car, And the perfect person is like, yes, do we have it parked correctly in the driveway? How far is it from the hedge? And the peace person is like, yeah, we got a new car. It's somewhere. I don't know. Somewhere out there. That's the peace person. And the thing about the peace person is they just want to be respected. All a peace person desires is to be respected for who they are. But the problem with that is they're the easiest people in the world to disrespect. Why? Because they're so incredibly nice. They're placid. They're flexible. They're bendable. So it's so easy to offend them. It's so easy to disrespect them. Because they just go with the flow. And pretty soon the flow has got them over here. And they feel like they've been disrespected because they're so easy going. Everybody know what I'm talking about? In fact, everybody from all of the other countries, as soon as they see somebody from the country of peace come, they're like, oh, there's a convert coming. Because they're so flexible. We can surely get them in the country of control. There's only 3% of us. We're at 2.99999. Get them. Right? And so they're really easy, seemingly, to manipulate or to get them to do what we'd like them to do. We just need you to do this a few more times, and we just need you to do these things and that things, because these are the easygoing, whatever everyone's doing, not ruffle the waves, whatever they say, sort of people. They're the relaxed group. Words that they love are no hassle, easy, calm, relax, just whatever everybody's doing. I'm good with that. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. That's not what I wanted to do, but nobody's going to know it because I'm easy. I'm from peace country, right? And to bring perspective to this, if you're part of the peace country, these are the people that are the anchor of reality. Because your control people are going to be the people that are like, okay, well, this is where we're going. The vision is over there. This is where we're trying to get to. They are forging ahead. Your happy people are too busy laughing and having a party and socializing. And your perfect people are crunching numbers and details, 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 manuals, policies, policies, manuals, manuals. And your peace people are your people that are even keel. If we're doing a study, you want to take a study and get thoughts and voice opinions from people that are from peace country. These are the people that if there was a fire going on, everybody else would be doing what they do best in their country. And peace people will be like, okay, everybody stay calm. I want you to get the ladder. I want you to come up. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Perfect people are like, what is the policy for fire? When we have a fire, get the policy. Where's the book? The building is burnt down. The fun people are like, fire. Oh my goodness, there is a fire. Can you believe? I know. Susan was probably smoking on the fifth floor.
There's a fire truck.
Because they're fun. They're always having fun. Do you know somebody like that? And the control people are like, okay, you know what? After this burns down, what is going to happen now? Have we planned for future? Do we have monies in the bank? The visionaries. Does that make sense? But the peace people are the people that are in the right now, that are calm, that can handle the situation. They're collected. They're relaxed. And they're going to keep all the other countries in check. And it's the only time, seemingly, in urgent situations where they're able to rise above the control and the perfect and the fun. Because all of them have spun so far into their collective corners that it takes someone to go, okay, look, you just stay right here because you're having way too much fun. Does this make sense? Is this making sense to everybody? And so these are the people that we want taking tests and generalizing case scenarios, because they're going to give you the most real observation when it comes to things. They are anchors, and they're steady. And they're not going to hit something and go off the edge. That is your peace country person. Now, I will say this. Pastor is your fun and perfect. He is perfect and equally fun.
And peaceful.
And he has a little bit of control as well. He has a little bit of control, but he's predominantly fun. He's equally fun and perfect. I am control, and I have a little bit. Stop it. I'm control, and I have a little bit of fun. The other two, I need the peace people in my team. And I need do you know what I'm saying? And most of the time, most people have two. Your dominant one, and then you have a little bit of another. And then a lot of times the other kind of just shuffles. And that's why we all need each other to complete and make a full team.
Amen.
Amen?
Give the Lord praise. Would you do that? Come on. Stand your feet. Amen. I hope we've said something that's triggered something in each and every one of us, that we're We need each other. We need each other. We need a little bit of every country in every one of us. And we balance each other out. Look at the one next to you and say, are we balancing each other out? Amen. And remember, what attracted you has the potential of of driving you nuts after a while. So focus in on the positives. Focus in on the benefits of it, that where there's an oxen, it gets messy. But with the oxen comes strength and increase. Strength and increase. Amen. Richard, take the one next to you by the hand. Would you do that?
Yeah. And I was going to just say, and just remembering that God created him or her that way. So when those things come and literally just, when they start doing those things, just remember the way that they're wired. Now, we can get extreme. Don't go extreme on it either. You know, God is constantly refining and, we're clay and he's constantly making those things that are too far out of kilter and bringing them into kilter. But just remember that there are ways that we can associate and communicate with them so that we are bringing them life. And I know that if I'm having fun or if I'm lining tomatoes up in the refrigerator, he is beyond blessed. But do you see what I'm saying? And he knows if we talk about the vision and where we're going and how to complete something and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes. Because that's how I'm wired. And if you can understand those characteristics and traits about each other, you can light each other's fire. And you can communicate in an effective way where he or she feels loved because you're willing to step outside of what you would normally do and tap into who they are.
Amen. So I'm going to give you just a recap real quick here. Control, they desire to be appreciated, and they'll shut down when they feel like they're being taken advantage of. So remember, it's focus and passion, not so much control. Fun is desire to be accepted. They shut down when they feel rejected. Don't reject people because they're having too much fun, because daddy took the T-bird away. Amen. And so, anyway, you go ahead, hon.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Pastor Perfect Heart. details. These are the people that tend to be sensitive to their feelings. So these are the people that shut down when they're being picked down. Remember, these are the people that don't let things go. These are the people that hold on to things and hold on to things and hold on to things. So that gives you a prayer focus. Pray for them. If that person can't let it go, it's part of their makeup, and that's part of something that the Lord, I'm sure, is dealing with them, because he doesn't desire you to be all locked up and bogged down about something that somebody did to you and they don't even care anymore. Remember, control people move on. They move right on. Fun people have too much fun to be worried about it. Peace people are like, I'm at peace with this. It's the perfect people that are like, I'm so upset about that still. So just hear the voice of the Lord and pray through that.
Amen. Again, it's what makes us us. Makes us us.
Yeah. Now,
look at the one next to you that you're holding your hand. Say, God created me.
God created me.
To rub off.
To rub off.
The rough edges of your life.
The rough edges of your life.
Oh, amen. Well, Holy Spirit, we just thank you right now. For your word, for your presence, and for your goodness. Touch each and every one of us. Lord, none of us are perfect. We all have our flaws. We all have our imperfections. But thank you that we've been made perfect in you. And when you look at us, you see us as perfect. So we're so grateful for that. But Lord, we don't see each other that way because we don't see ourselves that way. But because of that, we can celebrate the differences, and we can celebrate the diversities in each and every one of us that complement one another. Help us to respect, to encourage, to speak peace and love over one another. And help us never to get tired of those qualities that drew us to our partner or drew us to that loved one. And whatever it may be, that we never lose sight that, Father, even when it starts getting underneath our nerves, we'll say, oh, amen. I remember when that drew me to them. So I'm going to go back to that day. And so we thank you for that. And we speak your blessings over every home, every marriage, every future marriage, every life right now. And we speak health in homes, in families, and in unions. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God a great big praise, would you? Now remember, the candy, four pieces each. Unless you're walking with Victor's children. Amen.
And then also we are staffing that table from people from the perfect country.
Yes.
Because they are into details, four pieces.
Well, God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you. Ask you to clear the sanctuary as quick as possible so we can perform our wedding ceremony. And if you want to stick around and watch it, you're welcome to do that too. God bless you. But there are prayer teams to pray with anyone that desires prayer today. God bless you.